of us do if we've ever thought about it at all. We don't use those terms. And it can be the most mundane thing. Do you know why we take pictures and show pictures from our vacation?
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
I'm going to talk about the feeding of the 5,000 this morning and a couple of housekeeping things to do. The first thing I want to tell you is we all know that Jesus did lots of miracles. He healed people of their illnesses and cast out demons and walked on the water and raised the dead. How many of you join me in believing these things? Absolutely. I believe these things. Absolutely. There are four different gospel accounts in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some of them were first-hand witnesses. Some of them received the information second-hand. They edited it and included the things that they thought were important, sometimes according to the audience they were trying to reach, whether that be things they thought would be relevant to the Jews or to the Romans or to the barbarians in the hinterland, depending on whom you were writing to. The feeding of the 5,000 is the one single miracle that Jesus did that all four gospel writers included. I don't know that it's the most... they all include, like, his resurrection from the dead, which is the big central thing. And they all include the message of salvation. Those things don't get left out, but they focused on different things that Jesus did. And John says that if you tried to record everything that Jesus did, the book would just be too big. But in their various processes of editing, all four chose to include this one miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. It is the only instance among the various miracles that Jesus worked of such universal inclusion in the accounts. I have my own thoughts about why this one thing seemed that important to everybody. I will let you think about it and develop your own thoughts. In terms of background, because it's always a mistake to read any passage in the Bible in isolation from its context, so I'll try to get this tied into where we have been as we have been working our way through the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Jesus had set the apostles apart from the larger group of disciples, and he sent them out to preach. And probably you remember this, they went out in pairs and they preached in all the surrounding villages. And not only were they able to preach the good news effectively, but they were able to do on this occasion with their own hands the wonderful, marvelous, miraculous things that they had been seeing Jesus do. They healed the sick. They cast out the demons. They worked miracles in the name of Jesus Christ as they traveled about and preached his gospel. And now, this campaign was so effective that this is the thing Herod saw, the effective ministry of the disciples in the name of Jesus, and reached the conclusion that it must be that John the Baptist had resurrected from the dead and come back to haunt him or get him because they were so powerful. Now they have all come back together. How many of you recognize the importance after a big event of debriefing? Most of us do if we've ever thought about it at all. We don't use those terms. And it can be the most mundane thing. Do you know why we take pictures and show pictures from our vacation? It's part of the debriefing process. We have to come back out of vacation into normal life, and we need this help to transition. And so we're always, this is me at the Grand Canyon. huffing and puffing and sweating. This is me at Niagara Falls. He showed the pictures. If you had a picture and you could say, this is me swimming up Niagara Falls, wouldn't you show that one? If you had a picture and said, this is me digging the Grand Canyon, would you show that one? The apostles have just come back together from this momentous, almost unbelievable high point when they have been sent out to minister and to work miracles in the name of Jesus with their own hands, and now they come back together with each other and with Jesus at the end of that process. How many of you think that they could have used a debriefing time to talk with each other and to talk with their Lord and to receive some more insight into these things that they had been unable to do? How many of you think they got that debriefing time? They did not. You know why? Because as the word gets out, there's this growing source of miraculous power where you can get healed and helped. People converge on you. And the people converged on them. We didn't read this portion in the end of the previous passage, but the people were converging on them, but they needed their debriefing time. So Jesus says, tell you what, let's get in the boat and go away to a secluded place where we can do our debriefing. And so they get in the boat and they take off. And all the people who were there, wanting more of what Jesus and his apostles had to offer, noted the direction in which they left. And they know the lake. And they're thinking, I bet they're going to Seclusion Cove. Yeah. And everybody knows that the only place on whole of Seclusion Cove where you can have a good meeting is right there on Isolation Beach. And the best place to land on Isolation Beach is Leave Us Alone Point. So they're going to Leave Us Alone Point on Isolation Beach in Seclusion Cove. Let's all go too. And they run. And they gather more as they go. So that when Jesus and the apostles show up in Seclusion Cove on Leave Us Alone Point, at Isolation Beach, there are 10,000 people waiting for them. 10,000 is a conservative estimate. What we're told is 5,000 men plus women and children. But I'm keeping it conservative for reasons we will come to later. 10,000 people at least waiting for them, wanting more of what this remarkable man and his 12 associates have to offer. Debriefing time? One last housekeeping detail, a matter of giving credit where credit is due. 30 years ago, I said that, and then I thought about it. And the actual date, it's actually 31 years ago. It is almost distressing to think that I have been preaching the gospel longer than that, because this was well into my preaching years. But 31 years ago, I heard a sermon on the feeding of the 5,000 from a preacher named Reggie Thomas. And his outline was so clear and helpful and intuitively correct that I have stolen it. And I give credit. I don't know if Reggie is still alive. I have lost touch with him. But whether he is here with us or up with the Lord these days, I give him credit for the outline. I do not preach his sermon. I use my own insights and illustrations and thoughts about it. But I follow his outline. And I have for 30 years. 31. Whenever I preach on the feeding of the 5,000. So God bless you, Reggie, wherever you are. The setting for the feeding of the 5,000 is this. There are a large group of pesky people who have intruded upon our situation. And in addition to their normal peskiness, they have developed an additional problem. The day has gotten late and they are hungry. And they have nothing to eat. And they're staring at me. Like, this is my problem. This is not my problem. I didn't invite these people here. I didn't want these. I came here to get away from these people. And they shortcutted and got here. Is that a verb, shortcutted? I'm not sure. And got here ahead of me and are making demands of my time. And now they are hungry and there are 10,000 of them. Problem. What should be done? Three solutions are proposed. The first of which comes from the apostles directly and makes perfect sense when you think about it. The first solution is send them away. Make them go away, these pesky people and their burdensome problem, which is not my problem. We are not responsible for the fact that these morons whom we were trying to get away from and didn't invite here left in such a lather that they didn't think to pack a lunch. Not my fault. Not my responsibility. Everyone and justice will be best served if they just go away. Send them away. This initial proposed solution receives kind of a cold reception from Jesus. He says, "Nah, maybe we could feed them." And so the second proposed solution from the disciples comes up. Well, I suppose that we could take 200 denarii. And we could go somewhere else and buy, too, because you don't see a bakery here on Isolation Beach, do you? We could take the 200 denarii and we could go somewhere else and we could spend the whole amount on bread and bring it back and try to feed these people. Now, I'm going to take a little time here so that we really understand this proposed solution. I think that in their proposed solution, they were probably offering something of a challenge to Jesus' thinking. And here's why I believe that. 200 denarii doesn't really convey much to us, except it's some amount of money. The denarii, one denarii was considered to be a working man's wage for one day. If you had a denarii, you could feed you and your family and shelter you and your family and clothe you and your family for one day. If you wanted to feed, shelter, and clothe them tomorrow, you know what you needed? You needed another denarii. And the way it was, you know, you doled them out. You work one full day, you get one denarii. Because that way I know you'll come back to work tomorrow. That was the system. One denarii, working man's wage, support for him and his family, for one day. 200 denarii, we'll round things off a little bit to make it easy, is about 6 months' wages for a working man. Think of it then, think of it now. Silas, whatever you make in a year, and I don't know what that is, but you know what you make in a year, cut it in half. For you, that's 200 denarii. Got it? So you understand what we're talking about. Half of what you make in a year is equivalent to 200 denarii. Now, I need to introduce another wrinkle here. The apostles had a treasury. We know this if we think about it. Who was their treasurer? Why, Judas was. And was he a good treasurer? No. We know these things. We know that Lazarus and other rich people, it is said, occasionally made donations so that Jesus and his apostles could sustain themselves. They had a treasury. And I imagine that at this moment, early in their ministry, in the treasury, 200 denarii probably represented the whole wad. I expect that what they're saying is we could take everything we have as the group and we could go and buy bread and bring it back to feed these people. Now, when you think about 6 months of a working man's wages, that's one amount. But how many apostles were there? Well, we know, come on. 12 plus Jesus is 13. Some of them had families. Peter had a mother-in-law. What's that mean? How do you get one of those? Some of them at least had families. But 13 guys, depending on this treasury, and if I am correct, that 6 months of a working man's wage represented the whole thing, that would last the group 2 weeks. Enough to carry on without coming into further cash for the group for 2 weeks. This amount represents keeping us going for 2 weeks. But we could, if you really want to do this, we could take it all. And we could go and buy bread. And we could come back and feed these pesky, troublesome people who we ran away from to get here, but they... one meal. This sounds like such a winner, doesn't it? Let me give you another wrinkle. And I will try to update this. I'm going to round up on this occasion. So again, my estimates are always conservative. Let us say that the average working man's wage today is $40,000. Let us just say that. That's probably a little high for the average working man's wage, but let us say it. $40,000. 6 months worth of that wage would be $20,000. So let's say that in that context, the 200 denarii comes out to $20,000. Now, I did a little more research. The average cost of catering these days for a two-item plate, think chicken and pasta, or fish and bread, as it turns out, with maybe some basics thrown in, you get a glass of water and a little lettuce salad with some shaved carrots in there. Okay, the very basic plate for catering, $2 extra per item if you want to go beyond that on the average. So $5.66 per plate. That's the average right now for a very basic plate. How many people? 10,000 at least. Remember, I have rounded the people down and rounded the numbers available up. So I'm giving you the most rosy possible scenario. $20,000 to feed 10,000 people. You can do the math. That's $2 person. Average cost catered, $5.66, which would bring the whole bill up to $56,600. How much short are we? Why? $36,000 plus. We are $36,000 plus for a $56,000 bill. This is a problem, this is not a problem only if you are the United States government. Problem for me, not only are we going to take everything we have to keep us going for 2 weeks and go out and spend the whole wad to feed these inconvenient people that we didn't invite here one meal, but when we have done it, it won't be enough. It won't be half enough. If my estimates about the number of people are actually correct, it won't be a third enough, maybe not a fourth enough to feed these people. On another occasion in a Bible study, and it's been a long time, and I can't remember exactly what the occasion was, except that we had people of different ages together, because I asked what you would do in this situation. You got all these people to feed, and you're short on the budget. Caleb was in high school at the time, and he piped up immediately, ramen noodles. He would go out and spend the whole $20,000 on ramen noodles and bring it back. Sharon Smith said, depending on the season, zucchini. She was going to get to work with. But you get the point. We could spend everything we want on people who are not our problem. It would ruin our future, and it would not be enough to feed them one meal. This is a useless proposition. But it's the second solution proposed by the apostles. Now Jesus tells them what they should do, which is neither send them away nor blow the whole budget. He says, give them what you have. What do you have? And they reconnoiter and say, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. You need to understand, 2 fish is like 2 bluegill, not 2 marlin. We have 5 loaves of bread. $20,000 worth of bread wouldn't be enough, but we have 5 loaves and 2 little fish. Talk about useless. Talk about foolish. Maybe even potentially dangerous to approach a large, hungry crowd with this tiny little amount of food that one person could carry in his arms and say to them, eat up, guys. But because Jesus said it, and because these men here at the end of their own successful preaching, miracle-working tours have finally, they've been a little slow to this point, but they have finally developed enough faith. Because Jesus said it, they did it. Good for them. And had the crowd torn them to pieces, still good for them, because Jesus has a plan that covers our deaths and our eternities as well. Give them what you have. Only first, let me bless it. And Jesus blessed this puny little stock of food. And the apostles gave it to the huge multitude. And you have known this since you were in Sunday school as a child. What happened? Everybody ate. Everybody ate all they wanted. And there were leftovers! More leftover, in fact, than the original amount of food in its totality. How many of you reckon this is a miracle? Yeah. You know, there are people who say that it was not. They say, here's what happened. People had food, and they were kind of hiding it. But when they saw the apostles give the little bit they had, everybody kind of was ashamed, and they took out their food, and they threw it in. Everybody threw their food in, and some people said, there's not enough, so I'll just take a little teeny pinch and pass it on and throw everything I have in. So that people were shamed into it, and everybody gave their sack lunches that they did have, and that fed everybody. Anybody here besides me have a little trouble with that? Yeah. But even if it was so, let me tell you, there would be a lesson for us in it. I don't believe it so. But even if there was, there would be a lesson for us in it. But I come down to this. It's no good trying to throw out one miracle of Jesus unless you're going to throw them all out. We either believe that he could do these things or we don't. And I have a hard time believing. Maybe you can talk about shame feedings, but shame resurrections? I'm going to what? Make you so ashamed of being dead that you... How does that work? So I believe Jesus miraculously multiplied a ridiculously small amount of food until it sufficed to feed 10,000 people minimum with leftovers. Give them what you have. Just let me bless it first. All right, let's ask ourselves, how many of us have been here? These people are not my problem. They are so not my problem. Send them and their inconvenient, burdensome problems away, right? Been there. How many of us have been here? But I could empty my bank account and sell my house and car and throw it all at this problem, and it wouldn't be enough. It would make no difference. Been there? Well, how about this? Just give them what you have. But let Jesus bless it. I guarantee you, some of you have done this. How many of you have been introduced to a need and you had some money in your billfold and you just took it all out and you gave it? In the same gathering at which I heard Reggie originally preach, some years later I heard a fella give an offering meditation. I shared this in the community service last year. But what he was saying was that here toward the end of this big men's meeting, if you had more money on you than you needed to get home, gas and food, that's all you need. If you got more money on you than you need to get home, you need to just leave it here. Give it all to the ministry. And he said, if you can't do that, if you have a dollar more than you need for food and gas to get home, and you can't bring yourself to leave it here, here's what you should do. You should fold it. And fold it again and keep folding it until you've got it folded to the most tight, tiny, compact little bundle you could make. And you should put it in your pocket, way down deep in your pocket, as deep as you can reach in your pocket. And you should keep it there and you should keep it safe and you should keep it secure. Because when you get to hell, you're going to need something to poke your fire with. He said. It was an effective offering meditation. Now, this year, we had the opportunity to do a lot of corn picking off-site. For what it's worth, our garden patch, just as it stood, made the goal that we had set for raising vegetables to feed the hungry. But we got this big opportunity to pick corn off-site, and now our goal is working on being doubled because we've had this opportunity. And I'm going to tell you that as I look out here, I could name them and I won't, but there are a few people present who went with me or went instead of me because I couldn't always go. But there are a few people present who went on those expeditions and picked corn. And it was just a few hours that you threw in a morning. And I expect that everyone who went could have done something else with that time. I sure could have. But you throw in just those few hours you have. You let go of them. God can turn them into something really big. How many of you believe that God can take just the little bit you have to give at any particular moment and make it big? I believe that. How many believe that He can change lives and communities and nations and the world if only His people will just give the little bit they have at the moment? Not talking about selling your house. Just what you got on you. Can God do something better with that than if you kept it for yourself? How about we just give them what we have. Only we let Jesus bless it first. There is an idea. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, I pray that you would increase our faith. And I pray that you would increase our love and help us not just to see the inconvenient burden that people so often represent, but to see people that you love and to open our hearts to them and to give what we have and always to ask you to bless that which we give. Give us that faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.